Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
We're finally here today. Finally here. That was almost a new record. I think we've actually gone like 10 minutes past time.
That was pretty ridiculous.
We were pretty close to the record, I think. My clock here says 2:12. Is that right?
That is correct, I believe.
Wow. Then that may be a new record for late start, just thanks to PFW in progress. But better late than never, I suppose. Welcome inside Patriots Playbook for a Thursday on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook. We are packed. As Pete Carroll used to say, we're jacked and pumped. But we're also packed today with the program. Obviously, Eric Scalavino, PFW, is here,
What's up, buddy?
He always is. What's happening today? Anything good?
Tom Brady was back at practice. That's good news.
Yeah, is he infected the rest of the team with his flu now?
Maybe. We'll see.
They're going to really be
getting ready to
find
out.
He didn't infect the reporters, though. He postponed his press conference again.
He did?
Yeah, he was supposed to have it yesterday, postponed it to today. Not feeling well
so it's
enough
happen.
To talk, but yeah. Enough to practice, which is more important.
Right.
So we're told tomorrow he's going to give it a go.
He's going to try to give it a go tomorrow.
To talk to us, that is.
Okay. All right. So then he'll affect you late. That means you'll come down with it on Sunday. He's going to try to help you out.
I take care of myself.
Okay. As long as he doesn't sneeze in your general direction,
yeah.
You'll be okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How many people would like to be sneezed on by Tom Brady? Should we do an over-under? Stop it.
Enough with the fetish stuff. Let's move on to actual football material.
Yeah, we had enough
we
of
talked
that last
about
show.
Enough, enough of that yesterday.
I know, absolutely. By the way, we're very happy to be joined in studio by a couple of guests today. One is our friend Derek from the University of Arizona.
Hey, guys,
who's going to stick around today and be with us here in the playbook, even though he is absolutely and positively persona non grata now because he came and he made friends with the PFW guys first. I'm not happy with you, Derek.
Why is that?
Because you're a playbook guy. You have some intelligence, unlike the other guys.
I know how he feels, John.
I got nothing to say. I'm going to say radio show.
It's because I'm right. That's why. Because you know I'm right.
Shouldn't be majoring in journalism.
I'm
either.
A prisoner of the time schedule. What?
Yeah, are you majoring in journalism?
Yes, I am.
Should be majoring in English.
Well, then you definitely shouldn't be hanging around with the PFW guys because they have nothing to do with journalism
Switch
at all.
It again. Major in English. Learn how to write. You know, you can do anything you want in this business.
This
honest
is true.
To God, I'm not.
Which is, which
I'm not.
Is,
I'm not messing with you. I'm being totally serious.
And this is what I'm trying to explain to our other guests in the studio, A.K.A. the rookie, my son Austin, who is almost 16. But for local sports talk radio listeners, and I know Eric remembers this from the days of the Score in Rhode Island and Providence. Austin made his debut. How old were you?
I think I was 9.
Were you 9? I thought you were a little younger than that. Okay. But he made his debut picking games, and he was such an idiot savant, he kicked everybody's ass picking NFL games. And so we thought, just for the old time's sake, we thought we'd bring back Beat the Rookie today that we used to do on Sports Radio, The Score in Providence. And what we're going to allow people to do is we want you to pick 3 games today, any 3 NFL games you want this weekend, plus a bowl game.
A bowl game?
Ooh. Yes.
All right.
Any 3 NFL games this weekend plus a bowl game. So that's 4 games total. You pick against the spread, either with the spread or against the spread.
Yep.
All right?
Yep.
And if you beat the rookie, I've got a little prize I'm going to send you. Okay? Unnamed because I got to choose between a couple of possibilities here. But you will win a prize if you can beat the rookie. Now, ties don't count. Pushes don't count.
Good luck.
Trip to the mother's basement.
Oh, he's already talking smack. Jeez.
He should.
Unbelievable. Well, now, I have to admit, track record was when you were 9 years old, I think you went like, when we did this, what, like 10, 12 weeks? How long did we do it? Do you remember how long it was?
I think we did it, I think 1 year full, and then we started another, and then.
And then I got fired, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was not yet inside the playbook.
No.
So, did you in fact run the table? Is that what happened?
Almost. I think he legitimately picked better than 80% against the spread.
That's great.
With the spread.
With the spread.
That's phenomenal.
I can't pick 20% with the spread.
I know. It's hard. It's hard to break even with the spread. And he was.
You ever thought about going to UNLV?
Oh, God.
I don't think he understands that.
We'll talk after the show. We'll talk after the show.
I know, I know. All right, so, but here's the one catch, all right? Here's the catch to playing Beat the Rookie. He's got his picks, and we're going to let him make his picks here in just a couple of minutes, because we're going to, in addition to our loaded show today with everybody here in studio, Tim Graham, AFC East blogger for ESPN.com. He's going to join us here momentarily. And then in hour two of the show, obviously Russell Baxter, NFL research coordinator and
Yoo-hoo.
Our weekly friend from ESPN, he's going to join us. And John Murphy, the play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bills, will join us in hour number two. So as you can see, we're jammed, packed, loaded.
It's going to be 4 o'clock before we know it.
Probably. Probably. These hours, these 2 hours are going to fly by. So we're going to let him get to his picks, and then what we're going to let you do, we're going to have Tim Graham on the show, but you've got to phone in your picks today. We want people to call in the picks today and participate by phone so we can say all the kind of, you know, niceties that we want to say to our fans of Playbook. So it's 508-543-7482. Ace Ticket Hotline again is 508-543-7482. So consider your picks and then give us a call. And that's basically what's going to transpire over the last hour of the program, or the last half hour of the program. If you want to email your picks in, this is what we'll do, all right? If you email them in rather than call, we'll accept them today. However, I'm going to random select one to compete with the rookie to see if they can beat the rookie, all right? But you're guaranteed a spot in the Beat the Rookie Final sweepstakes if you call it in today on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
What is the prize, John?
It's TBD.
It's to be determined, but it is a legitimate gift certificate.
Trip to the basement? No, it's not included.
No. Trip to the Fortress of Solitude? No. My mother's basement? No. Not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. All right, rookie. Why don't you go ahead and give your picks so that way people can start considering.
Good.
All right. Okay. Oh, you got a call? Who?
You have Tim Graham on the line.
Oh, Tim's on the line already. All right, good. I'm sorry. I thought you said somebody was calling him. Well, they can wait. But we don't want anybody to hold on to your picks then, Rook. Tim Graham, who is the AFC East blogger for ESPN.com, joined us here on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Tim, how's it going today?
Hold your picks. Tim Graham's on the phone.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that shocking?
Everybody, stop what you're doing.
Well, but, you know, we try to be nice to our guest, and you're, you know, very gracious to give us your time, so we appreciate that. Happy holidays to you.
Oh, happy holidays to you guys, too.
Let's kind of start it off with the obvious thing, at least here for this game. Buffalo is improved. The Patriots at least do have something to play for that's considerable this weekend. In your estimation, does the 14-game win streak, does it have a chance of losing itself this weekend?
I think there's a small chance of it. I still think that the Patriots, because, as you mentioned, they are playing for something, so there will be an edge to this game. And I think that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and all the other spiritual leaders on the team, Vince Wilfork, have done a great job since that Cleveland game of making sure that the team is playing to a very high level in terms of emotion, staying sharp, and not taking anything for granted. And I know that playing a full 60 minutes has been a priority for them within a game situation, you know, as we saw at the end of the 45-3 game against the Jets.
Right.
But I think that also translates to a season metaphor, if you will, that they want to sprint through the finish line. This is a team that doesn't, you know, rest its starters. Bill Belichick doesn't seem to believe in that. You know, they're on the verge of clinching the division and clinching home field. And I think that this is a team that is going to take some pride in not going through the motions here over these last couple of games.
Tim, we've sort of talked about this, I think, on and off through your other couple of appearances on the program here during the year, but how surprised are you by the way the Patriot team has sort of germinated to what we see now? I mean, because, frankly, all here within the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've all been kind of stunned by this. What's your take?
Yeah, I've been stunned, too, and I actually did a story, and I should maybe pull it out and take a look at it or republish it on the blog, but about a month before the season, I think it might even have been before training camp, I had an interesting conversation with Trent Dilfer, who's an analyst at ESPN now, and he was discussing the significance of the Patriots going to a two tight end offense and the fact that he felt that the Patriots last year had been exposed, you know, the spread offense, right, the shotgun type system that that Josh McDaniels had started and Tom Brady had come to excel at, that the NFL had caught up to them, and that the drafting of Gronkowski and Hernandez really was going to signal a total change in the way the Patriots run their offense, and that it was going to bring some stark results. And I remember at the time the immediate feedback was Trent Dilfer's an idiot. Tim Graham, you're stupid for even publishing this. The Patriots have not been exposed, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I think that what we've seen so far would indicate that Trent was maybe a prophet in this regard. And, right. I think the Patriots saw some things that they needed to do differently, and the trader Randy Moss eventually underscored that. And just what we're seeing in terms of that, I guess to answer your question, I wouldn't say I'm surprised that they did this, but I think it's a surprise to see that they're doing it so effectively with a couple of rookies in key positions, and also with the running backs that they're using. I think that you would not have imagined Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead taking over in such a way as they have. And then the surprise to me really, though, has been on defense with the way they're able to play with so many young players, four rookies when Spikes is in there starting, and with what McCourty's been able to do. Mm-hmm. And if you were to tell me before the season that Darius Butler was going to, fall off like he did, then I would have thought they were in some serious trouble because, heading into the season, the McCourty-Butler combination was the least experienced in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And that they've been able to make do at that position, I think, has been a very pleasant surprise. And, it's almost like the Patriots fans have been spoiled. It's like no matter what happens, this team finds a way to remain elite. And I think that fans of the 31 other teams in the NFL have a right to be envious.
I would agree with you about the Patriots fans spoiled, and maybe that's another story for another day. You mentioned Devin McCourty just briefly. Do you feel like he's a defensive rookie of the year material?
Material, yes. I think that he's going to have to really come on over these last couple of games. I think Ndamukong Suh seems to have a lead that's not going to let up. What he's been able to do for a team that doesn't have near the supporting cast that Devin McCourty has,
mm-hmm.
I think is going to win him a lot more favor among the voters for that award. Although I think that what McCourty's doing, especially as the left cornerback, is the guy who's, facing the tougher receivers week in and week out, has been remarkable. He should be going to the Pro Bowl for sure.
Again, Tim Graham, who covers the AFC East for ESPN.com. He's a former beat writer for the Miami Dolphins and the Palm Beach Post, and also spent, 8 years up in Buffalo covering the Bills?
Yeah, well, no, I covered the NHL when I was in Buffalo.
Okay.
And so I made a switch when I went down to Florida.
Gotcha.
To cover the Miami Dolphins.
But you also know how rough it can be in the Buff, right?
Oh, for sure. I did cover some football.
Wow.
And,
good thing I know what you're talking about, John.
Just being immersed in this area, you can't help but, you just absorb the pain, that goes on here, that comes with being a Bills fan. And,
right.
You're talking to a guy who grew up in Cleveland. So, the Bills fans and the Browns fans have an awful lot in common when it comes to, not really having much satisfaction come December or January, and definitely not in February.
Had you heard that rough in the Buff comment before?
Well, no, I think you
that's
should
actually,
maybe put it on some T-shirts.
That's exactly. That's a line that I got from former Buffalo, what the hell was their nickname? The NBA team.
The Braves.
Yeah, thank you, the Buffalo Braves. That was a line that I got from former Buffalo Braves coach Cotton Fitzsimmons when he was coaching San Antonio and I was doing Spurs games. And he was talking about his time in Buffalo, and he goes, "Rookie, it's always rough in the Buff." And I've never forgotten that.
And at the time when Cotton was there, it was some halcyon days in Buffalo. It
Correct.
Hasn't gotten better.
Well, those were the days that guys like Ernie DeGregorio were Rookie of the Year in the NBA.
Providence's own.
North Providence and
right.
Providence College's own Ernie D. He was Rookie of the Year.
The steel mills were still burning, and more people had jobs, and the population was bigger. And
that's
so, yeah,
right.
It was rough in the Buff back then, and I think that in general it's gotten rougher.
Yeah, there's no question, especially for Bills fans. By the way, just to give the blog a little love here, you had an entry, I think it was earlier today, about how, I guess, percentage-wise, AccuScore gives the Patriots an 83% road chance to beat Buffalo on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of AccuScore. I think that they come up with some pretty neat ways to look at games. And essentially, it's a way for people who maybe like to put a couple dollars down on the games to, you know, to just analyze the game from a,
people don't
from
do,
a percentage.
They don't do that. Do they really do that?
For
this,
fun.
Well, this
for
is for
fun around
entertainment
the office.
Purposes only, right?
Yeah, handshake wagering.
Okay. All right, just checking.
But they take a look at some things and actually come up with some interesting formulas for how a team can become a favorite. You know, even if you're an underdog, if this happens and this happens and this happens and this happens, then your team has a 53% chance to win, which the Bills, you know, if I'm remembering it correctly, they have to keep Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead to a 3.5-yard average. They have to get an interception, which we all know how easy that is lately against Tom Brady. And Ryan Fitzpatrick has to throw at least two touchdown passes without throwing an interception himself. And then the Bills become a 53% favorite to win at home.
Wow.
So I think that maybe illustrates how much of an underdog the Bills have been. But you know what? AccuScore has had trouble. I publish these every week, every Thursday. I go through the AFC East and do the AccuScore reports, and AccuScore has had a very difficult time getting a handle on the Bills this year. They've predicted a lot of they're probably on the money with the other three teams in the AFC East, but they've really struggled in trying to figure out what's up with the Bills, and the Bills seem to overperform AccuScore on a regular basis for whatever reason.
Well, now the Bills have been in a lot of close games, but they obviously have not been able to get over the hump. What do you kind of attribute that to at this stage? Is it inexperience? Is it learning with the new coaching staff? Is it just lack of quality players? What do you think that might be?
I think they are getting over the hump because the hump is, to get close is getting over the hump for the Bills. They were that bad heading into this season. If you were to look at their personnel going into the year, you would look and say, all right, this is clearly the fourth best team in the AFC East.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to struggle. They're switching from a 4-3 defense to a 3-4. They have a new head coach, a new defensive coordinator. If you were to take a look at the staff, it was very heavy on college experience and very little NFL experience. They had a lot of question marks at very key positions, especially on the offensive line and of course, at quarterback. And then if you want to factor in that they traded their best running back, or the 12th overall pick from a couple years ago, Marshawn Lynch, they outright cut their opening day starting quarterback. And Trent Edwards didn't win the job because of an injury. He was, all throughout the summer, their starting quarterback. Then 3 games into the year, he's cut. They've had serious injuries to some key players here and there. And they've gotten better. They continue to get better. And they got off to an 0-8 start. But then here I actually wrote a story where I took an honest look at whether or not the Bills would have problems against a UFL team. And I took a lot of heat for that.
Wow.
I came up with an actual line. You know, the folks in Las Vegas who set their actual lines gave me an honest point spread of 10.5, which would indicate that, I think at the time the Bills had been an underdog by more than 10.5 points 3 times, which then I extrapolated, therefore they must be closer to the UFL than they are to contending with the elite teams in the NFL. But then right after that story comes out, they go into overtime in Baltimore. They go into overtime in Kansas City, back-to-back division leaders right there at the time. They later in the year take Pittsburgh into overtime. They've been incredible. They've won 4 out of their last 6. So I think that they have gotten over the hump in terms of being competitive. And it's such a long shot for these guys to be in a game at the end. You know, we were just talking about the numbers that the computers want to spit out for them against the New England Patriots. But they've been very good. And I don't want to say, relatively speaking, they've been very good. They've been a big surprise. I think I'm more surprised at how the Bills are playing right now than I am at how the Patriots are dominating.
Well, then that could be somewhat problematic if the Patriots kind of let down their guard on Sunday. I'd be remiss, though, Tim, if I didn't ask you about one of the other denizens of the AFC East and some of the off-field news that our neighbors to the immediate south in New York have been making, specifically Sexy Rexy over the last couple of days and such. And I know Woody Johnson has come out again publicly and supported Rex Ryan. But yesterday I called him a buffoon here on this program. And I don't know if I say that lovingly or critically. I still haven't really decided yet. But I called him a buffoon. And I wonder, in your estimation, how long before Jets fans and Jets players start no longer taking this guy seriously?
It was an interesting debate, and I hate to just, throw this at ESPN's television network today, but they had a pretty interesting debate on First Take today with Bob Glauber from Newsday, Marcellus Wiley, who played in the league for a number of years, and, of course, Skip Bayless is the resident provocateur there.
Right.
He's the debater who's on there every day, and they had a very interesting discussion, I thought, in which it kind of came down from outside perspective to inside perspective. Marcellus Wiley, looking at it from a player's perspective, said that this isn't going to matter at all, that it's probably going to be a source of humor and a lot of comedy within the organization. The players are going to poke fun at Rex over this. He's probably going to take it as such. It's not going to be that big a deal. Whereas Bob Glauber looked at it more in the sense of, this is just another notch on a long list of questionable things that when it comes time for the Jets to fall on hard times, and every team will eventually, let's say whether it's next year or 2012, and they get off to a 2-5 start or something like that, you lose your grace period. You're starting to, even though he's built up some serious cachet with what he's been able to do with the Jets on the field, there are also some very easy things to look at and say, okay, this can't continue. These are some reasons we need to, change the culture. We need to change things around here. So I think he's shortening his leash every time we learn of these types of things. And I thought that was a pretty astute point by Bob. But this is just from my perspective. If you want to look at another celebrity example of something similar, I think that eventually this will blow over in much the same way that David Letterman and his scandal did. A lot of people wondered if he ever could, come back from this. And I don't think people even really think about it much anymore. And, he's kind of made it, he'll take use it as some subtle humor with what happened to him on occasion. And, I think that America, after a while, will forget. And, like I say, it'll always be the source of, some playful jabbing, much like Spygate is never going to go away. For people who don't like the Patriots, there are going to be some people who don't like the Jets that will bring this up as, one more quiver in their
quill.
Quill, thank you. I was trying to think. You can't have a quiver, you.
One more arrow in their quiver.
One more arrow in their quiver. Yes, there you go.
Thank you.
I like that.
Thank you. Thanks for straightening that out.
Like I don't leave you hanging.
Right. So well, I think that it'll always be out there as a source of amusement for some people, but I think eventually it'll blow over.
The only thing that really bothers me is that he said, "Can I smell your feet?" Oh, jeez. I'm sorry. I just, that's a little rough to take. That's all.
That's being a jackass.
Amen.
The thing about it was, and I, I'm not, I haven't expressed an opinion on it at all because
would you like to?
No, I don't. But one thing I do want to say is that, and I wrote about it yesterday, is my baseline for surrealism for me when it comes to sports has been, I was sitting ringside when Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield. That was one of those classic cases where your eyes see something and your brain knows what it sees, but your brain does not believe what you're actually seeing.
Right.
Now, it doesn't happen that often in life, but it does happen occasionally, where your brain refuses to accept what is happening. And that was, that's kind of like my baseline. And when I read everything I could yesterday about this situation before I actually clicked on one of the videos because I wanted to have all the information I could.
Before you actually watched it?
Then I finally clicked on the video, and the moment I heard Rex Ryan's
voice,
sure sounded like Rex Ryan's voice, it was, that might be my new baseline, because that was just, who could have ever predicted hearing those words with that, that voice say those words, right?
I mean, I'm just telling you, right. You're absolutely right. It just doesn't compute. Oh, my Lord. By the way, just a quick little aside here. You were there ringside for Tyson biting off Holyfield's ear. I know where that piece of ear is. Because I've seen it. I've seen it.
What?
I've seen that piece of ear.
I used to work with the brother of the worker who picked it up. Oh. And, in fact, to bring this whole circle, he ended up going on David Letterman with the ear.
Yep.
But, yeah.
It belongs?
I used to work.
It belongs to a gentleman who has sports collectibles, and it is on display at the Montgomery Inn in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah, it was eventually sold. Well, you know what? I guess I didn't know that part of it.
Yep.
But I do know that the guy who collected it, the guy who went into the ring after the fight and actually found it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I wonder how much you made off that.
It's pretty gross, too.
I would imagine it's not decayed by this point.
Oh, it's decayed.
Oh, it's gross.
It's just basically a piece of chewed up cartilage.
Oh.
Because all the skin is gone. It's just a piece of cartilage. It'd be like bone.
Montgomery Inn, is that the place right on the waterfront?
Yes.
I think I've been there.
Montgomery Inn. Great ribs.
I've been there, yeah.
Great, some of the best.
When we played Cincy in 08.
Some of the best ribs you'll ever eat were at the Montgomery Inn.
Or was it 07?
And then, of course, if you go and look at the sports paraphernalia and the collectibles up there, you'll see Evander Holyfield's earpiece.
I know where I'm traveling to for spring break.
I just asked if they could take that out of the case and I could maybe dip it in some hot water like tea or something.
Well, don't say barbecue sauce because that'd be real easy to do around there. Oh, gosh. Hey, Tim, thanks so much for spending the time with us again today. We really love reading your stuff. You keep us up to date on a lot of things that are all AFC East, and we want you to know that it's greatly appreciated. You're well-read around these parts. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you hopefully again soon.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's always an interesting conversation.
Thank you. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I'll take it.
Too much discussion of body parts this week on this show. My God.
Really, between feet and ear parts. Oh, yeah, I know. It's just hasn't been entirely clean, has it? But we've managed to make do. All right, Tim Graham from ESPN.com joining us in the playbook. Good stuff as always. One of the things that I really liked about Tim's blog today, as I just mentioned, was his bringing out the AccuScore predictions every week. And a lot of them have been actually very accurate with the exception of Buffalo. And that's why I'm glad he blogged about it again today. So if you haven't had a chance, go on to ESPN.com and click on the AFC East blog and you'll see some of his stuff there. But it's pretty exact what you need, what the Bills have to do. That he wrote about today, and AccuScore also put in.
And only gives them a 50-50 chance.
And it only gives them a 53% chance if every one of these things happens. Number one, intercept Brady. Uh-huh. Number two, hold Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead to under 3.5 yards a carry. Number three, get at least 2 touchdowns and no picks from Ryan Fitzpatrick. Each of those three things has to happen, and if they do, it's a 53% chance for the Bills to win.
No chance.
Well, that's what most Patriots fans would say, and I think that's also what AccuScore is saying. But if those things do happen in the game, watch for them on Sunday. If they happen, let's see how close the score becomes.
Well, it'll be competitive. I mean,
well, it'll be very competitive. That's a lot of things that have to happen. But really, it just kind of boils down to common sense. I mean, number one, if you're turning the other team over, you got a better chance to win the game. The Patriots, obviously, right now are plus 20 in the turnover ratio. So right now, nobody's turning the Patriots over. That's number one. Number two, Ben Jarvis and Danny, while, you know, not exactly frickin' frack, it's you know, they're also, doing a little bit better than 3.5 yards per carry. In fact, I made the mention to someone, and in fact, a couple of people, and I'm sure you probably know this, Eric. Before Sunday's game, Ben Jarvis needed to average 71 yards over his last three games to hit 1,000 for the season. That's obviously a little bit more than that now. I think he's going to get
about 86
or 85 or 86.
Like
yeah, right now over the last two.
Yep.
So at 1,000 because he had the 133-yard run, and then basically that was it.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure is it not 824?
824. If that's right, then he needs, 176 yards, which mm-hmm. would be 88 yards.
Yeah.
So he needs an average of 88 over the last two to still hit 1,000. Mm-hmm. That's,
it's within striking distance.
It's doable. It's doable. And then, of course, Ryan Fitzpatrick, two touchdowns and no picks. Two touchdowns I think you could see, but the Patriots secondary has had a way of making plays.
Mm-hmm. Consistently.
Consistently. So in that regard, you can see how difficult it will be. All right. 508-543-7482, the Ace Ticket Hotline, webradio@patriots.com. The email address certainly will take your predictions for Sunday's game, as we always do on Thursdays. But again, a special contest today. Beat the Rookie is back. We want you to pick three games, any three games. You can throw the Patriots in there if you want. Three NFL games against the spread and a college bowl game of your choice. Obviously one that has not yet taken place. But a college bowl game of your choice.
I want the national title game.
If you want the national title game, fine. Yeah, do it. That's okay. And if you can beat the rookies' picks against the spread, I'm going to send you a prize. All right, rookie, you want to fire off with your picks then? So that way people can understand where you're coming from, and then they'll decide whether or not they feel like they can beat you.
I'm nervous.
Are you going to take part? Are you going to play?
Might as well.
You might as well. Okay, go.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll start with the New England-Buffalo game.
Oh, you are? Okay. All right, go. And the spread is?
New England is favored by 8 points.
8 points. Okay.
So I'm thinking that New England is going to cover pretty easily, but it's just going to come late in the ball game.
Backdoor
cover.
Exactly.
Okay.
I think that Fitzpatrick is going to have an okay game. I don't think that all those three scenarios we just talked about are going to happen. I think that Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead are going to have a decent game, and Tom Brady is going to have a little load taken off of him because he's been sick this week. So I'm taking New England to backdoor cover in this one.
Okay. All right. So you're going to take the Patriots and the 8.
All right.
Okay. All right. Pick number 2.
Okay. Green Bay and the Giants at Lambeau Field, mm-hmm. the frozen tundra at Lambeau Field.
Yep.
Green Bay is favored by 3 points.
By 3 at home. All right.
And Green Bay needs the win to stay in the playoff race.
Mm-hmm.
So
Aaron Rodgers is allegedly back.
Yes, Aaron Rodgers
passed all his tests. So yeah.
Been cleared to play. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take Green Bay in this one. They need the win. I think they're going to come in fired up. I'm not sure how the Giants are going to respond.
To the Philadelphia meltdown?
Yeah, to the
2-for-2 rookie
miracle and the new Meadowlands there.
I know you have because we sat and watched together. You saw
the old original
video film or the old film of the old meltdown at Philadelphia when Joe Pisarcik fumbled and Herman Edwards returned the fumble for a touchdown, right?
Right.
You saw that one. Okay.
Right.
Which one was worse in your estimation? What happened last week or the other one when you're going on a kneel down?
Last week.
Really? You think so?
I'm not sure. I think the fumble is more.
You're trying to ice a game, and all you got to do is go down on a knee, and you couldn't even go down on a knee.
Because you got 10 other guys aside from the punter who could have made the tackle last week's play.
Yeah,
that's true.
You can't pin it all on the punter, not kicking out of bounds.
But I think for overall shock factor, I'm going to agree with the rookie only because they scored 28 points in the last 7.5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
All right, as a whole, if you take all that as a whole, if you're just talking about how the last play of the game turned out,
yeah,
I still think the fumble.
So the fumble over the punt return.
Over the punt return as individual
as
plays.
As individual plays?
If you want to count the score and how they came back, that's probably
especially with DeSean Jackson returning it. I mean, the guy is he might be a bonehead, but he is dangerous. He's real dangerous.
And it was actually kind of prophetic on his part the way he kept – before the kick, he almost felt like it was coming.
Coming on, bring it here. I want to take it back. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Well, he's junior Steve Smith.
He is.
Panthers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I just want to interject one thing.
Yes, go.
About the game. The Giants-Packers. If the Patriots got to the, what was it, Flynn, 5 times?
Mm-hmm.
What is the Giants pass rush going to do to Aaron Rodgers?
Well, in theory, it sounds to me like, that could be for a long day. My guess is, though, is that with Rodgers back there, Green Bay, and especially at home, they find a way to pick it up a little bit.
I would pick the Packers, but, I mean,
it's
just
a three-point spread.
A
3-point spread generally is given to somebody when they have home field advantage, so that's basically an even game.
Absolutely.
All right, so you've got the Patriots plus your Patriots and the 8,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And you're taking the Packers in the 3.
Yes.
Okay, what's next?
Okay, St. Louis and San Francisco from St. Louis. St. Louis is favored by 2.5 points in probably easily the worst division in football.
Oh, God. Not even close.
And San Francisco needs a win to get to 6-9 on the season and still have a shot at winning the division, which is pretty remarkable in its own fact. I think St. Louis is going to win this game. I just think, as much as I hate to say it, being a Texas Longhorn fan.
You're going to pull for Sam Bradford? Not over my dead body he's going to Oklahoma. He's going to have another father.
I just think St. Louis is just going to beat San Francisco in this game.
3-for-3.
Clearly the better team.
Yeah, I think that may be the pick of the week.
Sam Chice.
Yeah.
Don't go against Sam Chice.
All right, so you got the Rams over the 49ers.
Yes.
And the 2, right?
Yes.
Okay, and now your bowl pick.
Okay, well, we're not sure.
I want the national title game. Come on.
You want the – all right. You going to make him pick the national title game?
Yeah.
All right, pick the national title game then.
Okay. Well, I participated in the Bowl Mania on ESPN.
Yeah.
I picked Auburn, and I picked 45-38 victory for Auburn. I'm not sure what the spread was in that game.
Yeah, I don't
know. Is
that
first half?
I got to look it up.
Yeah.
38 points?
First quarter.
I've got to look up the spread. I'll look up the spread.
I'm not going to have very much time for a
I'm disappointed in that pick because I want Oregon to win.
Personally, I'd love to see a Pac-10 championship. Unbiased, of course. But
I wanted Oregon Boise State.
Being an Arizona guy, yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, but I mean, I do like Cam Newton a lot. So, I mean, either way, it's almost a win-win for me.
Boise-Oregon would have been the highest-scoring national title game ever.
Boise really showed
that would have
up.
Been, that game would have been in the 70s in regulation.
Boise
both
last
sides.
Night really showed up. I was really impressed.
I was really disappointed. I mean, Boise played a game last night, a bowl game. This was a team that was considered in the national title talk, and they played a bowl game last night. Very disappointed in how they're season
Auburn is a field goal favorite over the Oregon Ducks.
Okay.
So you're taking Auburn and the points.
I am.
Okay. Auburn and the points
right.
over Oregon.
45-38.
Well, okay. 3 out of 4 ain't bad, Austin.
Are you taking Oregon in that one?
I want to see Oregon win, yeah.
You want to see Oregon win,
yes.
But, okay, see, there's a difference there.
See, I'm with Eric. I want to see Oregon win, but I think Auburn will probably win.
Okay.
Just because I don't know, I'm Cam Newton biased.
Yeah. Okay. All right, very good. All right, so there are the picks. Though the four picks, we need you to pick three games this weekend in the NFL, plus a bowl game of your choosing. And if you can beat the rookie, I got a little something to send you. And
please,
it's not a foot
bring
fit,
it on.
And it's not a foot fetish video either. Although it could be, but it's not.
He right? just keeps looking for excuses to bring that up.
He does.
It's disturbing.
As is the way of majority of the New England.
Oh, man.
I want to be the guy sitting in the 50-yard line when the Jets come here, right in behind Rex,
they're
okay?
Not coming here.
I know, they're not. But I want to be, if that happens, I want to be the guy holding up the sign that says, Rex, smell my feet.
Oh, God.
Hey, I said that. You copied me.
Rex, smell this.
Your old man stealing your game.
That's what you'd see in Foxborough.
Absolutely. Hey, Rex, smell this.
Right.
Just big cardboard feet. Just
yeah, that's what I would do. Have everybody have a mask of a foot. So this, when he looks into the stands, there's like 68,000 feet looking back
at him.
That would
be awesome.
I have a few inappropriate.
You don't think we could get like Dr. Scholes or some podiatrist,
somebody would sponsor a bunch of cuts for the eyes and the mouth.
How great would that be?
You'd have 68,000 feet looking at him.
Oh, think about it. That would be an image that would last forever.
He would not be able to focus
on the game.
That
would be on every blooper reel that ever exists.
You would have
known
wood
to man.
In like 2 seconds.
You could be whoever the podiatrist or the foot doctor would be that sponsored that would be immortal. Absolutely immortal. If we could find somebody that would do that. They're just shaking their heads.
Eric refuses to take part in this conversation.
I want to talk about the Bills.
All right, Bills talk.
All right,
are we continuing with rookies picks?
Yes, we're done with his picks. Anybody that wants to participate can participate. We prefer you to call your picks in on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. But if you can't get to the phone, or like if you're at work or something like that, and you want to email them or you want to Facebook them, you can do that. webradio@patriots.com or hit me up on the Facebook page with your picks, and then I'm going to select randomly a participant to take part against the rookie. All right, we'll see if we can get anybody that can beat him. Now, you got to beat his picks. You can pick other games, but whatever he does, let's say he goes 3-1 in his four, that means you got to go 4-0. If he goes 2-2, you got to go 3-1. Make sense? No pushes.
It's a tough game.
All right? But I'll make it worth your while. There you go. That's all I'll say. Be worth your while. All right. There you go. Now, again, coming up in a little while, on the program, in fact, more than just a little while, I would say in 10-15 minutes, actually, from right this at this time, Russell Baxter will join us, and then in 45 minutes, we'll have John Murphy, who's the voice of the Buffalo Bills, joining us here in the program. Practice report today?
Yeah. I think I might have mentioned at the top, Tom Brady came back today after suffering some flu-like symptoms yesterday. Still dealing with those today because he didn't talk to us at his regularly scheduled press conference.
Right.
But healthy enough to get out on the field, which is the more important factor for the team.
Okay.
Myron Pryor And Brandon Dedrick, who both missed yesterday, were back on the field. Dedrick with the shoulder that he hurt against Green Bay prior with that recurring back ailment. So hopefully they're back for good, because D-line getting very thin with the injuries in the last few weeks. Six players still weren't there. Dan Connolly with concussion from the other day. Deion Branch with his knee again. Hernandez suffered a hip, we think, against Green Bay. Mike Wright still suffering the effects of that concussion from the Colts game. You can add to the list Tully Bantakane, who had a groin problem crop up yesterday, as well as Jermaine Cunningham, the rookie linebacker, calf issue for his part. Branch talked in the locker room beforehand, so I'm not as concerned about his availability for Sunday. Something tells me he'll be out there. Hernandez, I'm less confident about, just because if a rookie is missing that kind of time, not a good sign. Hopefully, if he comes back tomorrow, that would be encouraging. We'll see. Because he's essentially the third wide receiver in their three wide packages. So be good to get him out on the field. If not, Gronkowski picks up the slack, I think.
Okay. Oh, he'll pick up the slack.
Yeah. They practiced in the stadium, which is kind of, I mean, probably had something to do with the weather. There's a little bit of a blanket of snow on the ground. Mm-hmm. But also probably helps for them to be out there anyway, because they're going to be playing on that surface in Buffalo on Sunday. So I think it all worked out for the best.
Get used to slipping and sliding if need be, right?
Right.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that on the way in today. I'm like, whoa, they're in the stadium.
So yeah, the stadium last minute change. Going it was and, scheduled to be grass all week, but I think they'll be probably in the stadium again tomorrow, too.
Okay.
They had to rush to plow the field this morning.
Did they have
to scrambling plow around the field? With some front-end loaders.
It's getting like University of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Boy, that was quite the visual.
Yeah.
The other night. Plus, the other thing I noticed is that after the Vikings scored early in the game, the fans were throwing snow up in the air like we've seen here in the past. So,
yep.
You know, it was kind of interesting to see somebody else do that. Notice how everybody copies us. Everybody copies what we do in New England.
It's a copycat league, John.
That's sincere flattery.
I suppose. I don't know. Sometimes a little tiring, though, don't you think? Somebody's got to come up with something new and original.
Everything's
been we need to do this.
The thing that made that game, though, was the way they threw it up, it was choreographed to the song.
Right.
Now,
which we used to do to Gary Glitter's Rock and Roll.
Yes, now the song has changed, so it's almost impossible to do that to any other song now that I think about it. You'd have to have like a uniform chorus that just keeps going and going and going and going. And I don't really know of that many NFL teams that have touchdown songs like the one we had. So that's what made it special and unique, I think.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would agree with that.
Because now people just, if you, like, what's so special about, oh, you score a touchdown and, like, there's music playing or whatever and you're just throwing snow. Like, the fans all, like, threw it at the exact same time, the exact, like, correct moment when they should. So it acted like it was, like, synchronized.
Yeah.
That's what made it cool in
it's
my
like,
mind.
Like the water show at Bellagio.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen that.
It's awesome.
What are the thoughts on Buffalo then for Sunday? And when do you have to leave? Do you have to leave on Christmas Day?
Yeah, in the afternoon we ship out a little bit later than we normally do. But
bus, plane, how are you doing?
Oh, we always fly.
Did they do that, Eric? Did they do that just because it is Christmas to give people a little time in the morning?
Yeah, probably.
That's nice, at least.
That's good.
Yeah, we have a mid-afternoon flight to Buffalo. We'll be there. Early evening.
It only takes about an hour to
it's nothing. Yeah.
Do you go to the Anchor Bar?
No. We usually go to the Pearl Street Grill and Brewery, which is usually right, a short walk down.
You haven't ever been to the Anchor Bar?
Haven't been to the Anchor Bar.
You got
to
get there at least once. That's the place where the Buffalo Wing was invented.
Right. Won't be going this trip, obviously, because won't be
Christmas
open.
Christmas Day, no.
Yeah. But, thankfully it's a 1 o'clock game, so we won't be in town
That's true.
All
we'll
that
be there
long.
Very long. So you won't be around to see how rough it gets in the Buff.
We've been to the Buff plenty of times, so we know how rough it can get there.
And the thoughts on the game, then? What do you think? You're ready to cover and mail it in, aren't you?
Yeah. I just think when this team knows what it has to play for, they're really tough to beat. Even when they have adversity like injuries piling up and the flu setting in. And if I recall, wasn't Brady flu-ridden for an AFC title game or a Pittsburgh game a few years ago, and he ended up playing lights out?
That was a playoff game. Was it Pittsburgh?
Was it a Pittsburgh game? Am I thinking
of
the right one?
It might be, but you're right. It was a playoff game.
And
that much I remember.
He had one of his better performances.
Well, who right now doesn't have some kind of a cold or flu symptom?
Yeah, no, that's true.
It spreads.
But I remember in school when I would get sick around the holidays or around exam time. I often did better on my exams than I thought when I was sick, because I guess it made me focus a little bit more or whatever. So I'm not really concerned about that. I know there's the streak, but I don't think they're worried about that whatsoever. The Buffalo streak, having beaten them since 03, the second time in 03. They have the number one seed at stake, and that's all they're thinking about.
That's priority one.
It is priority one, and I can tell from the way they started practice yesterday and the way they're just – there's a certain feel you get with this team and when you see them every day. And the week of the Cleveland game, they certainly didn't have it, and they all said as much afterwards. The week of the Jets game, the second Jets game, they had it. They have it again this week, I can tell. And it's – you know, Buffalo's going to put up a good fight like they have all year, but – Buffalo has nothing to play for other than their own pride. New England has a lot to play for, because if they lose the last two games and somehow the Jets win them, their last two,
they'd be the
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Right.
So the Patriots know it's very simple math. Very simple math.
Right.
Win, number one seed, right. Period.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to win 30-17.
30-17?
Yeah. Hmm. And it won't be a backdoor cover, I don't think.
Okay. Derek, you want to make a pick?
Well, yeah, I got the Patriots, of course. You know, I could see backdoor cover. I could see 30-17. I mean, really, I don't.
Come on. Get off the fence. Let's go. You learn in sports talk radio, very first thing you do, you sit on the fence, you get hit from both sides.
I do think that they're going to run the ball a lot, though, John.
Yeah, see, that's why I think the score is going to be kept
down.
So
I think it'll be a
I think the score is going to be held down that way.
But you might get a special team score.
Okay.
Well,
you might need that if you're going to
score.
Yeah, right.
So the clock will be churning. It'll be a quick kind of game, which will be nice for us. We can get home a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think by the end they'll get their 30 points for, what is it, six, seven games in a row that'll be, scoring that many points. And the defense will come up somehow.
Okay. Okay. Rook, you said you had the Patriots covering the eight.
Yes.
Backdoor. You want to pick a score then?
Jeez. I'm thinking somewhere along the lines of about 31-21.
Okay. I'm going to split the difference, and I'm going to go 31-22.
See, I'm thinking lower than that for Buffalo.
Okay.
Probably. sorry. High teens. I don't know. I don't think they're getting – you think three touchdowns?
You know what? I'd say two touchdowns, and, you know, there could be something screwy happen. You know, it could be two or three field goals, whatever it takes to get to 22. I'll give the Patriots 31, although I'm a little reluctant to do that. For some reason, I do kind of agree with Eric in the fact that, you know, this could be a game where the Patriots can end up running the football quite a bit. And, you know, especially if they get a lead early. Let's say they jump out to like a 10-0 lead, then I think you're going to see them pound the ball on the ground as best as they possibly can. If they certainly are up by two touchdowns or more, you know, I'd be stunned if they got to 30 points.
Especially if, worst case, Branch doesn't play, Hernandez doesn't play. You've taken out a lot of components to your passing game.
Right.
Just makes sense.
How concerned are we that injuries are starting to, you know, become a factor?
Well, they're going to be a factor for everybody at this time of year.
Well, so, yeah, everyone has, you know, a knee, a shoulder, you know, but the Patriots stayed relatively healthy for the first, you know, few weeks.
That's true. The one thing that I'm most concerned about injury-wise, though, would be the defensive line.
Right.
And
but even more important that they get this win in Buffalo so that they can get the week off.
They need the week off.
To heal.
And so they can get those people off.
Do they play the full week in Miami then, too?
I don't think so.
Do they play
full, if they win this week in Buffalo?
Yeah.
Do they play the full week in Miami?
Play the full week?
I mean, like the full game. I mean, I'm sorry.
No, I don't think so.
They'll
treat it as an exhibition.
And then
game.
With the bye, you'd really almost have 2 weeks off for the guys that need it.
Right. For the guys that need it, guys that, you know, are even anywhere near dinged up, they won't play at all against Miami.
2 weeks weeks is a lot of time.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree.
All right. So there you go. And I'll take 31-22 with a little bit of a backdoor cover.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say is I'll go with that. Now, we need your predictions. Webradio@patriots.com, Facebook. Call in your predictions if you want on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. So far, I haven't seen any predictions yet. We'll see if anybody wants to play Beat the Rookie. Yeah, they must be. I mean, when I said 80% when you were 9 years old against the spread, that might be enough to, you know, shock most people. I'm surprised that Strippers hasn't stepped up because he's, you know, usually pretty bold with these things. But then again, he, you know, is an OU fan, so what can I tell you? Stripper send you that?
He's an I love that clip.
I've actually come to like strippers, or at least just begrudgingly respect him a little bit. But if you want to participate and have a shot at the prize, call it in, or at the very least, email it in, all right? Webradio@patriots.com. Hour number two, Russell Baxter, John Murphy, coming up in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Hour number two inside Patriots Playbook on the final show before Christmas here. A lot of great things going on. Our thanks to Tim Graham of ESPN.com in the opening hour of the program, talking all things AFC East, Pats and Bills. Hour number two, Russell Baxter coming up shortly. John Murphy, voice of the Bills, coming up shortly. We got a little picks contest going on here. Beat the rookie. Pick three NFL games this week against the spread plus a bowl game. And if you can beat the rookie, then you get a win a prize. Mary Beth in Syracuse wants to play Beat the Rookie. Hey, Mary Beth, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. So you think you can do this now?
Sure.
Okay, fire away. What do you got?
I'll take Jacksonville. I have them favored by 7.
Jacksonville by 7. And, okay. Rookie, what's the...
what do you guys got there?
Yeah, okay. What do you have right there?
7. Okay. Over Washington.
Over Washington. All right, so you're taking Jacksonville on the 7.
Chicago.
Okay. And what's the what do you have there on the spread?
Actually, one
point. 1 point.
One. Okay. You're taking the Bears in the 1.
Yep.
Okay. And
Atlanta by 2.5.
Atlanta 2.5.
Okay.
Is that what you have? Okay. Pick a bowl game.
Syracuse, the Pinstripe Bowl.
Ha ha! What's the spread on that? I don't even know.
I show Syracuse given 2.5.
Syracuse is giving Kansas State 2.5.
They're going to get whooped.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, come on.
So all right, you're taking Syracuse and the 2.5, correct?
Why not?
Okay. All right, so write that down. Syracuse,
that's
minus 2.5, Kansas State.
The only team Syracuse beat at home are like 1AA teams this year.
But they're not at home. They're not in the dome. They're outside.
I know.
They're at Yankee
right,
Stadium.
I went to some of the games in the dome, and they didn't win any.
But it's not good that they didn't win any home games, though.
But I've lived here 4 years now, so I haven't been to many football games because I don't think they've won many in 4 years.
Are you going to the Yankee Stadium for the game?
No.
Oh, it's
so
just
if I was going to any games this weekend, I'd be going to Buffalo.
Jason's
for the game.
Going.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're not going to Buffalo either.
Usually we do, but my daughter's coming for Christmas, so.
Gotcha. How old's your daughter?
She is 28.
No way. You don't sound old enough.
Yep, my granddaughter's first Christmas this year.
Granddaughter?
Whoa.
You definitely don't sound old enough.
So, and my son's in China, so they're just making me happy by having somebody up here.
Gotcha. Oh, that's good news. Glad to hear that.
Well, you guys have a great holiday.
Mary Beth, thanks for taking
you
part.
Too.
All right, you got it. All right, so there you go.
Like what's father, like son over there.
Exactly.
She goes, in my granddaughter, and he goes, oh, whoa.
That was fantastic.
I give her credit though. She sounded very young.
She does.
Very nice
There's
lady.
No way I would have very ever nice guessed lady. She was a grandmother, 28-year-old daughter, but a grandmother. Well, I've got a 24-year-old son, so
as Andy
not
would
him.
Say, as Andy would say, send photo.
Send
Wait,
photo.
So I could be your son?
Yeah, that, I'm old enough to hilarious. Be your father. That's pretty shocking, isn't it?
It's stunning.
I know. I would have had to gotten after it a little early, but you know, nevertheless.
Well, he's only a year younger than me.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He's only he'll be 20. My oldest will be 24 in February.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
What's your oldest's name?
His name is Ryan, and he lives out in San Jose.
Ryan Rook?
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm. Double R. I know. Shocking, isn't it? All right, so you guys have this week in terms of you're both covering the Patriots and the Bills. What's the one thing, let me ask you a question, what's the one thing you think that could happen that would keep the Patriots from covering a spread?
From covering?
Yeah.
And that cover is what again? Eight?
Eight. Step up. Come on. Don't be shy.
Man. Some key injuries, maybe. Yeah, if everybody's... I don't know. I'm really concerned about the injury thing. I think the flu, definitely the flu, is really overblown. I think everyone's kind of sick right now. I mean, especially around school. You know, they're just... Oh, I think we got the phone call.
That's all right. Go ahead. You can finish it.
Yeah, no. So I think everyone, especially around school right now, really sick. I don't think everyone really feels great, especially with this kind of weather, you know. I think the only thing really that's going to keep New England from not covering would probably be turnovers.
Nice.
You know, I mean, turnovers, injuries, you know, that's about it for me.
Turnovers, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
The Patriots are so good this year.
Agreed.
You know, just keeping the ball. I think they have nine. Is that correct? And NFL record
nine
is 13.
Turnovers, yes. For the entire season, NFL record for a season is 13.
Okay, so what do you think? Do you think they make that?
I'd say they've got a very good shot. Why don't we ask the expert, Mr. All Thing Everything, all knowing all numbers around the NFL, Russell Baxter. Russell, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas, John. How are you?
Excellent. Now the
inquiring mind on the phone over there.
Inquiring minds want to know about the record. The NFL record for fewest turnovers by a team in a season is 13. Is that correct?
In a 16-game season. Yes.
16-game season. What is the record for a 14-game season?
I think it might be. I'd have to double check.
Okay, fair
because
enough.
The league doesn't break it down that way.
I knew that they didn't. I knew that they didn't. I just figured you might know that.
Yeah, I'll take a look. So, in fact, no. Here's what they'll do. They probably have it for, you know, they even count the 9-game seasons. That's the problem. Okay, the record. Do you know who owns the record for the
fewest turnovers
in a 16-game season?
I do not.
No, nope.
It was way back. In 2008.
What?
The Giants and the Dolphins were both.
Both had 13 turnovers?
You know what? Yes. I remember that.
Yes.
No kidding.
Yes. Now, let's also keep in mind that the Kansas City Chiefs only have 10 turnovers this year.
Yeah.
So they're right in the hunt for the record as well.
Yeah, they absolutely are.
Yeah. So, but nine, I mean, that would be, you know, what will make that interesting is that could be a record for any season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I'm going to
scroll through the book and see. Like I said, the record in fact book doesn't break it down 14, 16, and then when, of course, the 18-game season gets here,
which it will,
it's coming.
Yeah, it's definitely coming.
The same thing, but we'll bide time and scroll while we're talking. So.
Okay, very good. All right, well, certainly as far as the NFL schedule is concerned, there's a lot of holiday football to talk about. First game, of course, tonight, NFL game. It's Panthers at Steelers. Now, I would only mention this. I wouldn't mention this otherwise, except it is Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is clearly still in the running for one of the top two seeds in the AFC, so that's why we'll bring it up. Patriots obviously have played the Steelers. Do you foresee the Steelers having any trouble at home, knowing how much they have on the line with this game tonight and needing a win?
Well, listen, we have seen this team be a little different defensively without Troy Polamalu. although I think they played very well defensively last week against the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
They held the Jets to less than 250 yards of total offense and only gave up the one offensive touchdown. Although they did give up a season high, it's so funny to say that, with Pittsburgh, gave up 106 yards rushing, which was the most the Steelers have given up this year in a game,
mm-hmm.
which is very, I mean, if you think about it, this is a team that is so good against the run. But I thought the persistency of the Jets and the balance of the Jets is what one of the reasons they won that game last week. And if you remember what we talked about, not surprised by that whatsoever. I think the Jets were due for bounce-back mode, and the Steelers' offense has trouble scoring points. That being said, Carolina, which has really cranked up the running game the last 4 or 5 weeks, doesn't have much of a passing game with Jimmy Clausen. They still have Steve Smith. But they also don't have much of a defense, and their top corner, Chris Gamble, doesn't look like he's going to play tonight as well. My guess is a big dose of Rashard Mendenhall. And, you know, I would be stunned if the Steelers lost this game at home. It's a short week for both teams,
yeah.
but it's a shorter week for a team that has to travel. And, you know, with the Steelers in the playoffs, despite a loss last week, still eyeing the number two and or the division, which they haven't won that yet. And, you know, I think they, you know, I think they should take care of business tonight. They've been a very, very consistent team this year. And the one thing about them the last couple of weeks, even with the loss last week, the one bugaboo I've had with them, and they've got their share, the bad offensive line with a lot of injuries and so on, not closing games in the fourth quarter. And their fourth quarter defense has actually been a lot better the last couple of weeks against Baltimore, against the Jets, and against Cincinnati.
I simply like the Steelers tonight, and I like the Steelers big only because they've got to be upset over what happened last week.
Also, the Steelers haven't lost a back-to-back home game since 2003.
Is that right, since 2003?
Yeah, back-to-back home game.
You knew that,
right? Actual back-to-back home games?
Yeah, week 4 and week 5 of 2003.
Week 4 and week 5 of 2003. My guess that that was Tennessee and Cleveland.
I don't know. I'm reading from Adam Schefter right now, so.
Oh, okay. My guess is that's Tennessee and Cleveland.
Tennessee and Cleveland, yeah.
Yeah.
Might very well be.
Yeah, which was the last time actually Cleveland won in Pittsburgh, if I remember right.
By the way, just so you know, Russell, this is Derek from the University of Arizona. He's one of our hardcore followers here and one of the self-proclaimed football experts we have here inside the Patriots playbook.
Derek from Arizona, Russell from Bristol. How you doing?
How you doing? Nice to meet you.
And I also have the younger, better half of the Rook family, a.k.a. the Rookie, my son Austin, in studio today.
Hello, Austin. How you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. And how old are you, Austin?
I'm almost 16.
Because this will rat out your father.
Yep.
I'm almost 16.
All right. Well, John, you're younger than I thought then. Okay.
No. I just got through, I have a 24-year-old, too, so.
All right. Well, that's close enough. I don't know why we're going down this path. So.
I know.
I've got a 3-year-old at home. What does that say? You know,
It just means you got going a little late, but that's okay.
I was busy. I couldn't get a day off.
There you go. Knowing your job and what you do for a living, that I personally can understand, and I can vouch for too. All right, Christmas Day. We have the Cowboys at the Cardinals, and I'm bringing it up only because it's Christmas Day, and we'll all be looking for something to watch probably by later in the day on Christmas after everything is unwrapped and all of the pleasantries have been extended amongst family members and Christmas dinner, if we're fortunate enough to have that. So, you know, Cowboys and Cardinals, why really should we be interested in this, do you think?
Well, I think probably the most interested person would be the head coaches of both teams.
Okay.
Both of these teams won division titles last year. Both of them won playoff games last year. Of course, then got bounced in the second round, so they have those similarities. But neither one of them going anywhere this year. And, of course, Jason Garrett, the interim coach of Dallas, hoping to make a strong case down the stretch here,
right,
for a job. Obviously, Ken Wisenhunt, which even though he's been only there 4 years, it's actually his first losing season after going 8-8, 9-7 in the Super Bowl, and then 10-6 last year.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody has played quarterback for the Cardinals this year, including Stan Musial and Kirk Flood. So they've been a mess there. It's amazing the difference no Kurt Warner makes, but also no Antrell Roll, no Anquan Boldin, no Carlos Dansby. This was a team that really had a lot of defections from a very, very good team that they had built. The over-under on Emmitt Smith 1995 Monday Night Football flashback when he scored this 25th rushing touchdown at the time set at record is 3.5.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the over-under on the Cowboys, well, we won't even get into that. You got to like Dallas. Balance.
Yeah.
Offensive balance. Defense? been up at least 30 points, I think, four games in a row here.
Mm-hmm.
So that can make even a struggling Cardinals offense smile. But, you know, I don't think they have the right I mean, listen, Larry Fitzgerald will make some plays. There's no doubt about that. And it could be a somewhat entertaining game due to the fact they're both struggling defensively. But I think Dallas is determined to finish with not with 10 losses, which is something that's a little too late for the Arizona Cardinals.
I am under the impression, as this Jason Garrett experiment has taken place, that the longer it goes, the more people in Dallas are easy with the idea of giving him a shot next year full-time. What do you think?
Well, I think so. You know, listen, they've played much more balanced football since he became the head coach. And, you know, you got a lot of people around here conspiracy theory-wise is how come they didn't run this style of offense there. But the one thing to keep in mind with Dallas this year that is the biggest disappointment is not necessarily the balance on offense so much, but their defense was really thought of highly. Remember last year, what, they give up 250 points, second fewest to the Jets?
Mm-hmm.
This year they've given up 399?
Yeah, that's huge.
360? I mean, they're closing in on 400.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a big turnaround for them in a bad way. And that was Wade Phillips' baby, and maybe that's ultimately why they went in a different direction as well. But, you know, they're going to sit Tony Romo the rest of the year. There was talk they might, you know, last, you know, when he first got hurt, could they at least get him back late in the year? But why take that chance with an injury like that? Get some playing time for Kitna and maybe Stephen McGee, and not this week apparently, but maybe in the final week of the season against Philadelphia. Who knows what the status for the Eagles was going to be in terms of wrapping things up for them as well. You can never tell these last couple weeks, especially next week. All those divisional games are going to be real, real interesting depending on what gets solved this week. So
right.
I kind of got to go with the Cowboys here, there's no doubt. They're playing better football than the Cardinals.
Sure. 1 o'clock Sunday, Jets-Bears. This is a game that that clearly the Jets need. The Bears also need to keep their home field chances, you know, intact. You know, I'm not sure that I get a clear read on this, and I'm not sure that the reason that I'm not getting a clear read is because I'm biased. I mean, you know, being a Patriots fan and or a follower here, certainly I'd love to see the Bears win, but I'm not so sure that's. You know, I'm not so sure that's going to happen.
I'm going to use the same argument I did for the last game. I think the Jets are the better football team.
Okay.
I think the Bears are an improved football team, but I don't think they're a better football team than the Jets. And I know there's a lot of talk this week about Sanchez being a little banged up and so on. It'll be interesting to see how he throws the ball. But this team can run. The Bears are a lot better against the run than they have been. And it's going to be, listen, one of the best matchups of the year will be left tackle DeBrickashaw Ferguson against Julius Peppers. I mean, that's a highlight reel in terms of one-on-one matchups. And Julius Peppers has really had a solid season. Mm-hmm. He's freed a lot of things. And he doesn't have like he has a ton of sacks. It's just he's brought something that the Bears really needed to the front. You know, we know they have good linebackers. They had Tommy Harris in the middle. But they haven't had a really big play outside pass rushing. They had Mark Anderson a couple years ago who was a situational guy, but as far as a full-time guy, I mean, he almost had two interceptions Monday night off Brett Favre. The athleticism he brings there has been a big plus. And listen, there have been Julius Peppers been a very inconsistent player besides being a very talented player, but he has really revved it up this year. And very, very solid season. I expect him to be a Pro Bowler when they announce the team sometime early next week. And but that being said, the Jets have, I think, a better defense, although their defense is disappointing. Remember, last year they only gave up 8 touchdown passes, the fewest in the league last year. This year they're giving up 21 already. That's a big turnaround. Listen, Jay Cutler can wing it, but Jay Cutler can also throw 4 picks at any one time. I think the Jets got a little confidence back by doing something last week they had never done, as that's winning in Pittsburgh. And I think they continue on their march.
Excellent. Now, there are so many games. I think just about every game has at least one team that's certainly in the playoff chase over the last couple of weeks. I'm going to focus in, though, on games that have both teams right now still have a legitimate shot at the playoffs. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but 49ers at the Rams.
Yeah, well, listen, you don't make the schedule and you don't make the facts.
No, I don't.
But the bottom line is that they are in it. And, you know, the Rams who were one, I mean, talk about a surprise team. You know, 6 wins coming into the season the previous 3 years, they're 6-8.
Right.
But they've had a lot of trouble with the 49ers lately, be it when they were good or bad these last few years. It's been a bad matchup for them and so on. That being said, what San Francisco can't seem to settle on who they want to be their quarterback, other than knowing the last name will be Smith. And this week it's back to Troy Smith.
Back to Troy. Why, you know, by the way, why has Mike Singletary decided to do that? I don't think, I guess I've read into that enough to know why he keeps going back and forth between the Smiths.
I have absolutely no idea. That one kind of surprised me. That kind of came out of the blue this week, but that's the way they're going. You know, the Niners, like I said, they've been erratic football team all year. One of the bigger disappointments, a lot of people thought, with Arizona maybe sliding, that they would take the bull by the horns,
right,
especially after the way they played in the division last year, but mm-hmm. they've done just the opposite. And the Niners, the last couple of years, when they've been good on defense, they've been great. When they've been bad on defense, they've been horrible. I will say this, the Rams' defense has slid a little after a really, really good start. And if Frank Gore were playing in this game and healthy, I think I'd feel a little better chances about the Niners, but I think it's time for the Rams. I'm still finding it hard to believe we're going to actually have a 7-9 division champion, and I'm going to look at the Rams to win this week and at least be in position to get 8-8.
Okay, I kind of tend to agree with you on that one, and I think they'll have an opportunity for 8-8. It's Seattle they play next week. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. At Seattle, who they've already beaten this year.
Right. So,
and you know, ideally for the league, I'm sure they would love to see both Seattle and the Rams win 8-8, and at the very least have an 8-8 division champion, which of course we haven't seen that since
2008. Exactly.
A lot of stuff happened in 2008.
A lot of stuff did. Was that a good year?
Was that 2008 we had a 8-8 division champion who beat the Colts.
Yeah.
And we had a 9-7 football team who went to the Super Bowl.
That is correct. We did, didn't we?
And of course we had two teams that committed only 13 turnovers.
That's right. Colts at the Raiders. I think that's also one that I wasn't expecting both teams to be in the playoff chase. But the Raiders, with their backs to the wall, are not out of it by any stretch. Colts need to win to keep alive their hopes as well.
Listen, the Raiders are hoping for a lot of help here. But they're not out of it in terms of winning a division title.
They're 5-0. 5-0 in the division, which I hadn't realized until I stared at that number for about 30 minutes this week.
Let me give you a little fact. Going back to the merger, with the current, first it was 6 divisions, now it's 8 divisions, but going back to the merger, 29 times a team has gone unbeaten in the division, either 6-0 or 8-0 or whatever, okay? All 29 of those teams made the playoffs.
Wow.
So if the Raiders, by chance, regardless if they win or lose this week, go into Kansas City next week and win, and go 6-0 and still don't make the playoffs, they'll be the first team to do that.
Wow.
Go 6-0 in the division and not make the playoffs.
That's...
Which would be insane.
Yeah,
but
very.
Very insane. Yeah, that being said, let me point out a couple things about the Raiders as far as how improved they are.
Okay.
First off, they won 2 more games than they've had any more the last 8 seasons. This is their best season since...
The
Super Bowl year in 2002.
Right.
Even if they only go 8-8 or 7-9, they're not going to lose at least 11 games, and that was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a number that jumps out at me. They have scored 110 points this year in the first quarter. They scored 197 points as a team last year.
Mm.
That's a big offensive improvement.
No kidding.
No, I mean, that's a big turnaround. They are well over 300 points this year. So, I mean, they've much improved. Peyton looked like he got his mojo back a little. He got a little running game last week. I don't know if the Colts can stop the Raiders from running. And I know the Raiders have run into some top-notch teams. They beat San Diego twice this year. They beat Kansas City. But, you know, they've also gotten handled Miami, handled by Pittsburgh, and so on. I'm going to take a flyer on the Raiders because I picked the Raiders to win the division beginning of the year. And they're obviously waiting for some help from Cincinnati and Tennessee this week to knock off San Diego and Kansas City, respectively, and hopefully be in a position where they can force a one-game showdown with the Chiefs next week.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Chiefs also haven't lost at home all year. And I'll tell you, honestly, I know Cincinnati's had a horrible year. No Terrell Owens this week. He's out for the year, having a great year. You never know what you're going to get with the Chargers. I wouldn't be stunned if they came east and lost a game to Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't be stunned. I'm not saying I wouldn't be surprised, but I wouldn't be stunned.
Would be stunned. Gotcha.
So, stunned, surprised, however you want to word it.
Nice.
But I'm going to take a flyer on the Raiders this week. I'm not saying I feel overly confident about it, because, you know, the Colts went out and back to the playoffs for a 9th straight year, which would tie the NFL record.
Correct.
Set by the Cowboys from 75 to 83.
Right. Seahawks at the Buccaneers. both teams are literally, I guess, hanging on by a string, but at the same time, mathematically, not eliminated yet.
Tampa Bay is 8-6, and in not as good position as Seattle is at 6-8. What's wrong with this picture?
Well, yeah, everything that we've talked about in terms of the NFC West and what's going on in that division. A lot of things wrong.
The loss last week at home to Detroit, of course, Detroit snapped their 26-game road losing streak, was really a killer to the Bucs. I'm curious to see how they bounce back. This is a young team that the last couple of weeks, things have not gone their way. I think they've lost three of their last four games after a real promising start. They've still had an excellent season. Matt Hasselbeck has played terrible football for the most part this year, and Seattle has laid some big-time eggs to various teams. They've gotten manhandled at home. They've gotten manhandled on the road. And with all that confidence, I'm going to take another flyer and say the Seahawks come east and win the game.
You know, the one stat that I loved this week about this game that I saw, Russell, which is why I bring it up now, because I know you're the lover of as the purveyor of numbers here. Pete Carroll has lost as many games this year with Seattle as he lost in his entire USC career.
Yeah, that's wild. I got another thing to look forward to in this game. I'd say the odds were excellent that A. Mike Williams catches a touchdown pass this week.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I think that's good odds on that one.
Yes, I've got twice as good a shot as I usually
do
any other week.
Yes, you do.
So
Giants at the Packers. Green Bay, we did see a little bounce back. And can the Giants physically, mentally bounce back from the Joe Pisarcik-like occurrence last week?
Well, no one's shutting off the TV at 31-10, can tell you that. You know, it's actually, I think it was Mike Quick on the call who said this is Miracle to Meadowlands number two.
Yeah, right.
It's actually Miracle Meadowlands number three.
Yeah.
In 1988, 10 years after the Miracle to Meadowlands, the Giants and Eagles played at the Meadowlands, and the Eagles had a field goal blocked that would have won it. But I believe Clyde Simmons picked up the ball. He was on the team as far as the field goal team. After it was blocked, picked up and ran it in for a touchdown 10 years after the other miracle at the Meadowlands.
Wow.
I think that's pretty miraculous, too, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I didn't even remember that, but yeah, you're absolutely
so,
right.
A fluky touchdown and it wasn't that the Giants kicked the field goal and Clyde Simmons blocked it and returned it. It was that the Eagles were blocking the field goal. I mean, the Eagles were kicking the field goal, and Clyde Simmons from their own team, which I remember Chester Markholt did that in the game, the kicker. He was kicking a field goal, and he's the kicker, and had it blocked, and bounced into his hands, and he ran in for a touchdown anyway. So Miracle to Meadowlands, listen, there's a lot of Miracle to Meadowlands, and unfortunately for the Giants, they never go their way. So they've had rough losses over the years under Tom Coughlin and always seem to bounce back. I was pretty impressed with Green Bay last week with the way they played without Aaron Rodgers. Few breaks here and there, but I thought they were very balanced. And I'm really concerned about the mental well-being of the Giants. I will say this, Green Bay's run defense leaves a lot to be desired still. Mm-hmm. Number one in the league last year, certainly not in that realm this year. I know they've had a lot of injuries. Be interesting to see just how healthy Aaron Rodgers is. I'm going to take Green Bay because it was another team I picked to be in the playoffs, although I also picked the Giants before the season to be in the playoffs as well.
Right.
But Green Bay at home, maybe with in the next couple weeks they do wind up getting the playoff shot. This is a toughie. This is a real toughie for both teams because they're both coming off. To me, the Packers lost last week because of some inopportune moments.
Sure. We all realize that, you know. The Packers get full credit for their play last year.
Yeah, Charles Woodson dropped interception.
Right.
You know, letting Dan Connolly run 71 yards with a kickoff. I'm sure they were scratching their heads as well.
That was all talent, baby. All talent.
Well, listen, funny you should say that. When I was looking at the stats the next day,
yeah,
you expect to look down and see Dan in the kickoff returns from the team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You expect to see Connolly,
1 for 71. Yeah.
Doesn't say that.
What does it say?
For the season, it says 3 for 90.
Oh.
So that means he's done that twice previously.
Yes, he's picked up squibs.
Maybe not as long as 71.
He's picked up squibs,
but he's
though.
Picked up a couple of, he's picked up a couple of guys and taken off with it.
Yes, he has.
So shame on the Packers for kicking to Dan Connolly.
There you go. I like that.
Or something like that.
No, I like. Hey, I think that's right. I think.
And by the
right.
way, you got to give the league the nod on whoever came up with it. He was named the special teams player of the week in the AFC.
That was smart.
I thought that was
brilliant.
That was very, very intelligent.
Brilliant.
I'll take the Packers here. I think that's probably the way to go. But I could also see a double dose of Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw going in there and really frustrating the Packers and keeping Aaron Rodgers off the field.
Monday night is a doozy on your network. Saints at Falcons. The winner of this game, is it a stretch to say, is the leader, the front runner in the NFC?
Well, I don't know about that. Philadelphia, even though they don't play great defense,
yeah.
But either does the Saints. In fact, if you really think about it, John, there's not an NFC team that plays really outstanding defense. Okay? I mean, if it weren't for Michael Vick, I don't know what position the Eagles would be in.
I'm not sure we really have that
30,
anywhere.
30, 27, 38, 31. I mean, take your pick.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
But Russell, I'm not sure we really have that anywhere in the NFL, with all due respect to Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Right.
I don't know.
Well,
that
I certainly don't think Baltimore's
no.
there. Baltimore, in fact, Baltimore, how does that for a number? Baltimore has given up more points in the fourth quarter and overtime than they did all the second half last year.
Good grief. See, okay. There's just not a dominating defense in the
no,
league.
No, there's not. But, I mean, there's some more porous than others. And New Orleans has shown, they did it again last week, over 200 yards rushing they gave up, that if they don't get takeaways, they don't win defensively. I mean, I know New England's got defensive problems. The Jets have fallen. Pittsburgh's actually better than it was last year, but not as good it was 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl. So you're right. There is not a dominant defensive team this year, and I'm not sure what the reasons are. And some you're getting some amazing. That's why we're having such a great debate on who's the MVP in the league. Is it Michael Vick or is it Tom Brady? I have my own thoughts. If you want to ask me, you can ask me later.
I would like to ask you.
Yeah, but let me go back to this. Let me go back to Atlanta, New Orleans. Like we were talking.
Sure.
Saints don't lose it. I mean, so the Falcons don't lose at home under Mike Smith and Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they do this week. And Atlanta has a chance to wrap up home field advantage in the NFC, and I think they'll eventually do that, but I don't think it's going to be this week. I think the Saints, coming off the loss from last week, bounce back and give the Falcons a little dose of what Barry, because I've seen the Falcons run defense in the last couple weeks, even in a game against Carolina, where Carolina got over 200 yards on the ground on them, mostly with Jonathan Stewart. So I'm kind of looking that way. I'm looking for New Orleans to at least, I mean, wrap up a playoff spot. Atlanta's already in, but at least delay the party for Atlanta clinching at home field advantage in the NFC.
Interesting. That brings us then full circle to Patriots at the Bills. Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock kickoff, CBS television. Brady going against Ryan Fitzpatrick. Bills have won 4 of their last 6. Talk to Tim Graham from ESPN.com in the opening hour, since he blogs the AFC East, as I'm sure you're aware.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a big AccuScore guy. And AccuScore came up with some interesting numbers this week, that there were 3 things that had to happen for the Bills to have a 50-50 chance to win the game. One of them was to pick off Brady. Another was that Fitzpatrick had to throw 2 touchdowns and not get picked off himself. And the third one was to hold the Patriots running backs to under 3.5 yards per carry.
Which I could see the Bills actually doing and still not winning the game.
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay,
that's why
that
it's 50-50.
All feasibly happen.
Right.
I don't think those are unrealistic. The Bills have played better. They've played better in the takeaway department as the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ryan Fitzpatrick's actually had a very, very solid year.
Sure.
And certainly Terrell Suggs feels that way.
Yeah. And since he voted for him, that's right.
Right. But at the very least, listen, I pointed this out last week. I hear some people in our business who like to say that, well, this team will lose this game because they've packed it in for the year. Okay? I got to be honest with you. I don't see that. I don't know who sees that. Okay? I mean, I think the people sometimes who see that are people who leave their office at 3 o'clock when they're scheduled till 6. Okay? I'll just point this out, John. Last week, 4-5 teams went into the week with at least 10 losses. 4 of those teams won.
The only
team with at least 10 losses that didn't win a game last week was Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit snapped their losing streak last week. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo won last week at Miami. So I don't see the quote-unquote quitting thing that everybody else sees and so on. I'm just, I don't know where you get that. I'm not saying that teams haven't quit in the past, but I haven't seen it this year so far. You know, Cincinnati was riding a 10-game losing streak and won last week. I don't think the Bills have quit, but they're also not as good as the Patriots, not in the long shot. They've already lost 14 in a row to them, and I think this week will be 15 for a lot of obvious reasons. Now I'll go back and answer the question I already posed.
MVP.
I believe Tom Brady is the MVP.
Okay.
I believe Michael Vick is, and he could be both of these, either the offensive player of the year or the comeback player of the year.
Now, technically, though, wouldn't last year have been Vick's comeback year?
Yeah, but comeback does not necessarily mean that you didn't play the year before. If you know what I mean.
It means,
in other words, you could have gotten hurt.
I realize also overcoming adversity is a part of the...
Yes, that's definitely a part of it. I mean, yeah. Chad Pennington has made a career out of making comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
And so on. But it's for a guy who gets hurt. I'm just thinking as far as a comeback... It can take on a lot of different meanings.
Yeah, don't you have to come back from something?
I think he's come back from the off the field stuff, and I think people will take that into consideration.
Okay,
you know,
though that was a couple of years ago now.
But. Yeah, I mean, last year he was never a star. In fact, he started one game last year at running back. So he came back as a starting quarterback per se.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like I said, whoever votes on it, there's no parameter saying. The only real parameter that you vote on in the NFL as far as rookie of the year is rookies in the NFL are different from baseball.
Right.
A pure rookie is their first season in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go back to the old Ricky Waters didn't play his rookie year. Terry Allen didn't play his rookie year, but that was their rookie year, so they couldn't be rookies of the year their first year. But if not comeback, how about offensive player of the year?
I would buy that.
Remember last year, Peyton Manning was the MVP. Chris Johnson was the offensive player of the year.
Right.
But to me, when you go six straight games without a turnover for a team, and he's the starting quarterback, and it's an NFL record, he hasn't thrown an interception in 17 years. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm exaggerating, obviously.
Yeah.
And the amount of points they have put up after revamping their offense, I think... And they've changed as a team in the middle of the season with younger players and a different style of attack. I think he is the most valuable player this year. He's having an absolutely astounding year. And, you know, you could even – here's funny. You could even make a case that last year, even though he had a very solid year, could have been a comeback player of the year award for Tom Brady.
Sure, absolutely.
And so on.
Absolutely.
But there were
right.
just other viable candidates. So, who knows? Comeback player, some people might say Darren McFadden in Oakland.
Yeah.
Although he wasn't really gone. The league doesn't have a most improved player
mm-hmm.
award and so on. I mean, that's the category I would put it on. But I think Vick will either be comeback player of the year or be offensive player of the year. And I think Tom Brady would get my vote. I don't have a vote. He'd get my vote as MVP.
Russell, I hope you and your family have an absolutely fantastic Christmas. You deserve it.
Well, thank you. I hope you guys do as well.
Thank you.
It's a good time to spend with your family.
Absolutely.
And we will talk next week.
We'll chat with you next Thursday.
Yeah, it'd be great. And I promise you in 2 weeks I'll have all the playoff scenarios figured out.
Nice. Only because it'll be finalized by then.
Well, yeah, listen, I didn't say how. I'm just supposed to provide the answers.
Yes,
I don't
sir.
Have to say how I do it.
That's what I love about you.
You got it.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, John.
Merry
Have
Christmas.
A good holiday.
You bet. You too. Russell Baxter, NFL Research Coordinator for ESPN. All right, you want to take a quick break so you can round up Mr. Murphy? All right. On the other side, then, John Murphy, voice of the Buffalo Bills, will join us. Don't forget, we still need your scores. And if you want to play against the rookie, pick three pro games against the spread and your bowl game of choice against the spread for a prize here in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines, Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat,
How many advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Still looking for your score predictions from Sunday. If you want to play Beat the Rookie, you can do that. Pick three games again against the spread and then one bowl game. And if you do, you get a prize. You can email those. Since on the line, we have now with us John Murphy, who's the voice of the Buffalo Bills, joining us here in Patriots Playbook. John, thanks for the time today. We sure appreciate it, and happy holidays to you.
Yeah, same to you. Happy holidays.
You know, a lot of people around here, and it's probably a sort of a general assumption around most NFL circles, that the Bills don't have anything to play for this Sunday, and yet Bills are also looking for, you know, their first win against the Patriots since 2003, the Lawyer Malloy Bowl, as some people like to refer to it around here. What is this team playing for?
Yeah, it's a great question because they played very, very hard, you know, really since midseason, since their bye week. They play for jobs next year. They play for pride. They were, I think, extremely embarrassed by the fact that they went 0-8 to start the season. And they've won four of their last six games. They're clearly are still focused and still interested in winning some games. But it's kind of fun to see a team that has nothing to play for, you know, in a classic sense, play as hard as they have the last several weeks.
Well, that's the one thing I was going to bring up. This team has won four out of six, so clearly they're motivated by something. Is it the coaching staff that's finally gotten through to them? Do they believe in what Chan Gailey and the staff are doing now, and how has that changed over the course of this year?
Yeah, I guess I'd say they'd always have believed. It just took a while for things to settle in. I mean, they started the season with Trent Edwards at quarterback and Marshawn Lynch at running back. Neither of those two are on the roster anymore. Lynch started at running back in the game at New England back in week three. Uh, the, That was Fitzpatrick's first start. So they've had kind of a major roster churn as the season has gone along. And I think it just took time for things to settle in, the transition to the new defense, sort of a hybrid 3-4 that they play right now. Some of the things they do offensively have evolved as the season's moved along. As I said, they started out extremely slowly and have managed to pick it up. And I think the buy-in was there all along with the new coaching staff. It just took a while for things to settle in and for the systems to take hold.
Okay, that's fair enough. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think, has come on to the point where at least one notable linebacker in the league has voted for him for the Pro Bowl, which I thought was kind of interesting this week. Nevertheless, his play certainly has, I think, been steady, if not quietly spectacular, and certainly has to be part of the reason why your team has had some success.
Yeah, absolutely. He you know, he's obviously a very smart quarterback and a guy who knows what he's doing, and he has the command of the huddle, has the confidence of his teammates, and he's gutsy. I mean, he'll make throws. He made a throw at Miami last Sunday to a rookie wideout David Nelson in the end zone, an 18-yard touchdown pass. I don't know that too many quarterbacks would even attempt that throw.
Yeah.
Ryan does not have a classically strong arm. You know, he's got to, if you watch him throw, he's got to put every ounce of effort into every throw that he makes. But he got it there in a hurry, and zipped it to David Nelson in the end zone on a little post-type pattern. You know, it's things like that, I think, make everybody else better around him. They see what he gets out of his ability, and I think everybody else likes to play with Ryan Fitzpatrick because he'll make throws like that and take chances like that.
I have also been very impressed by this young wide receiver core. I talked a little about this a couple of days ago, but really this list of no names, for lack of a better phrase, and I hate to really do that because sometimes that kind of sounds denigrating, but these guys have gone, I think, above and beyond the call of duty in being there for the most part, with, of course, Johnson's lone exception against Pittsburgh, which I was absolutely sick about, as I'm sure you guys were, but I think overall these guys have done a pretty good job.
Yeah, they have. And last week at Miami, the receiving core was Stevie Johnson, the seventh round pick a couple of years ago, and three undrafted rookie free agents. You know, a couple of them have played more than others. David Nelson is a guy who made the roster as an undrafted rookie out of Florida, had a good training camp, doesn't have great speed, but he's got good size and really great hands, and again, a very smart, adaptable player. Donald Jones is a rookie from Youngstown State, again, undrafted rookie free agent who made the team mostly on a special teams work, and he's been pressed into service. And this past couple of weeks, they've had a rookie undrafted free agent from University of Buffalo, Naaman Roosevelt, who is playing now in the four wide receiver sets, made a couple of key receptions for first downs last week at Miami. It's pretty amazing the production they're getting out of an unheralded cast. I mean, Stevie Johnson is the gray beard there in his third year with a guy, and a guy who, you know, really hasn't played much up until this season.
Well, before we flip it over to defense, just as an aside here, Bill Belichick went up and beyond, you know, what he normally does to bring the name of Fred Jackson out. Really respects him as a running back, so I know that he's going to give the Patriots attention this week. Now, flipping it over to the defensive side, there was some thought that what Dom Capers might have done last week as defensive coordinator at Green Bay and how he game planned for Tom Brady could be used as a quote-unquote blueprint for how to slow down, if not beat, the Patriots. However, how much of that do you really think the Bills would pay attention to, considering that, you know, hey, Green Bay kind of brought the house at him at times and did actually sack him five times, but still didn't win the game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the coaching staff and the players are looking at that video and taking what they can out of it. The Bills, quite frankly, don't have the kind of personnel defensively that the Packers do. I don't know if they feel comfortable blitzing as much as they do.
Yeah.
You know, they've tried everything. If you think back to the 14-game losing streak, I think Brady has lost once in 20 games against the Bills over his career. And they've tried everything. They've tried to blitz. They've tried to drop into coverage. I mean, they've tried a variety of different approaches and have never been able to really find success. So it remains to be seen what they'll do. They're not a real, you know, heavy blitz team. They sort of count on, you know, if they're going to get pass rush, they sort of count on a four-man down line setup, you know, with Chris Kelce moving up to his old position as a defensive end in order to get pass rush pressure. But, man, I don't know. I don't know. You're asking me what the answer is to slow down that offense. A lot smarter guys than I have failed over the last several years to find that answer.
Probably a combination of a lot of different things, I would guess.
Yeah.
John, a final one for you here. Why has Buffalo only been 2-5 with home field advantage this year?
Well, I mean, they started off the season very slowly, you know, and, you know, they lost a 5-point game to the Dolphins, got beaten badly by the Jets, a fairly close game against the Jaguars. The Bears game counts as a home game that's played in Toronto. I guess I sound like I'm making excuses. The Steelers game was here at home. They had that game won with a touchdown pass in Stevie Johnson's hands in overtime that he dropped.
You're saying they've been snake-bitten a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. They, you know, if you're asking me, do they have the same old home field advantage that they've had, you know, over years past? No, probably not. But I do think it's going to be kind of a loud, raucous crowd, the final home game of the year this week for the Bills. I think there's a growing sense among the Bills Nation that this team is sort of bottomed out and is starting to come back a little bit. And, you know, they got an opponent coming to town that Bills fans love to hate in the New England Patriots. So I think it's going to be kind of a good atmosphere at the stadium, kind of a loud, raucous atmosphere at the stadium this Sunday. But you're right, they're not the intimidating team that they have been, you know, in decades past at home.
Well, we had a little snow on the ground here over the last 24 hours or so, and I know the Patriots were out in Gillette Stadium practicing in that snow, trying to get ready for Buffalo. Just wanted you to know that.
Yeah, well, the weather shouldn't be a factor. I mean, it's kind of little light snow today. There's about a foot of snow. I live in Orchard Park. We've got about a foot of snow on the ground, but the stadium will be clear and ready to go on Sunday.
Sounds like a plan. Hey, happy holidays to you, and thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. John Murphy, again, is the radio voice of the Buffalo Bills, joining us here inside Patriots Playbook. We have just a couple of minutes left in the program, so we're going to spend it getting to some of the scores and getting some of the thoughts from the two guys who have joined us in studio today. Let me call up what I found here. All right, here we go. Ta-da. This one comes from email, John in Alaska, who says, "Guys, I've been a Pats fan since 1984, back when I enlisted in the military and left Rhode Island. Since then, I've been back to see family and friends, as well as stopping in to see the new stadium. I wrote to the team back when I was in the Gulf during the first war, and they were nice enough to send me a letter and some Drew Bledsoe cards at the time. I've kept both, by the way, and I really like the team and where it's gone. I hope to get the chance to make it back that way to catch a home game sometime and see them in person versus on the TV. Actually, I hope to fly back and go with my dad and brother to catch a game someday. Who knows? Well, when you do, John, you get back this way, you let us know when you're coming. We'll see what we can't do for you. As far as my pick for the game, I get a little concerned with the games that should be easy, but I'm hoping last week's close game forced them to really refocus and they'll come out strong and blow away the Bills 42-7. Four touchdowns and two defensive plays. 42-7. He's all Pats on that one.
Although I do agree that, you know, even though they didn't lose, I mean the Patriots,
yeah,
they did get that same kind of, you know, feeling that, you know, hey, if we don't step up our game, teams are coming to play. And the Packers came out and hit him in the mouth. And that's why I think they're they'll probably fare pretty good this weekend.
They're going to get everyone's best shot, for sure.
That usually does happen, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Next is, this is Alex. Let me double check. Yeah, Alex from Georgia. He says, "John, listening to yesterday's podcast of your show, I have this to say when you thought Vic should win Comeback Player of the Year. Granted, Wes wasn't hurt until the last game of the regular season, but Vic also played last year, but was on the bench with the exception of a few plays a game. Would have to give the nod to Wes because of the injury." That's something that, you know, yeah, I certainly is discussable. But again, when you consider overall what Michael Vick into a prominent role, yeah, I know, down Fido, what he's overcome in his life to get back to the level of play that we've seen, that alone is what's going to make him a candidate.
Unbelievable. He's been unbelievable this year, and I think he's played really well. He's handled himself really well on field, off the field.
Hey, believe me, if anybody was, you know, going to vote, I'd have to vote for Wes too. And I said before the year started, I said this yesterday on the show, I'll say it again right now: the fact that Wes Welker walked onto the field this year to play from day one, clear sign to me that he deserves Comeback Player of the Year just because of the injury that he had last year against Houston.
You know, but right. There's so many grayscale. This is the biggest grayscale award ever.
Yeah, it is. Because there's no set criteria for it.
Exactly. And you got E.J. Henderson. Is that correct? E.J. Henderson, the middle linebacker for the Vikings?
Yeah.
Okay, you know, he broke his, what was that, his femur?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
You know, and you need that. I mean, that's an incredible bone to break.
Yep.
He came back from that. Mm-hmm. You know, Wes Welker, of course, from the knee. Michael Vick from everything off the field to, you know, to his struggles on the field last year. So, I don't know.
What do you think a Comeback Player of the Year is, rookie, in your definition? What does it mean?
Well, I mean, I think the Comeback Player of the Year, someone has to overcome some type of adversity, whether it's injury
or... And that's
or,
really all that it yes. says in terms of the description for this, overcoming adversity. So it leaves it kind of open to a lot of different criteria.
Yeah. Right.
You know? And so in that regard, who deserves it?
Well, I mean, you can
when you have a general description now, based on the general description, who deserves it?
I think it has to be Michael Vick. But, I mean...
I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, you could make a case for Vick. You can make a case for Wes Welker as well. So, I mean, we'll see. But in my opinion, I think it has to be Michael Vick.
I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of gay.
Well, I wouldn't say the words has to be, but, I mean, I think Wes Welker definitely, you know, he deserves a
lot. I don't know that the Canine Club of America would agree with you guys, but okay.
Hey, Wes thinks it's gay. He thinks voting for Vick is
gay. Oh, so that's who that is. I couldn't recognize his...
You didn't know that?
I didn't realize... I don't know. It's kind of gay.
Yeah.
Okay. There's the jockey right there.
Okay. This one comes from Harry. He says, I am a long-term Patriots fan and supporter for the last 35 years. I live in Somerville and Newton during that time. In August, I moved to Chico, California, where I suffer from Patriot game withdrawal. Please direct me to a service where I can listen to Patriot games here in Chico. Is there such a service that I can purchase? You can go to Sirius, I believe, Sirius XM, and I think you can buy the NFL Sunday package, can't you? Does that sound right, Kev? Doesn't Sirius XM have a package you can buy and listen to all the NFL games?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's so. You'd have to purchase satellite radio, Harry, to answer your question. In order to get that, I think that's basically what it boils down to.
A lot of people have that. It's a lot of people.
I have XM.
Yeah.
I could buy the best of Sirius because I was originally an XM subscriber. Yeah. But I have to tell you, I love it. I very rarely listen to terrestrial radio.
I haven't
radio.
Heard bad things.
Yeah.
About
no,
that
it's
at all.
It's good stuff. You could definitely do that. All right, more picks here. Hold on just a second. Oh, they keep rolling in now on Facebook. Good stuff.
Oh boy.
All right. You know, hey, that's what happens. Let me update it. Joshua says, all right, hey, John, think of the past few comeback player awards. Brady and then Pennington won it like three times. Remember what Vic did? He brought on himself with the whole dogfighting thing. I bet if the NFL gave him that award, the animal rights would cause a stir again. You know?
Well, I'm looking up the exact description.
My guess would be that, you know, PETA would probably do that, yes.
I'm looking at the exact description, and it says, the player named comeback player of the year shows perseverance in overcoming adversity. In the form of not being on the field the previous year, or a severe injury.
But he was on the field last year
in
a limited role.
They also throw in or poor performance.
Well, could you make a case then that his limited play on the field last year as a primary backup, even though he did play some, but that could that be equated to poor performance?
Yeah.
Fact is, he didn't get the reps last year as he's getting this year, and he has returned to his pre-dog days form. And if not, you know, this you can make an argument he's playing as good as well or better than he ever has.
Oh, no doubt.
Better than he ever has.
No doubt. He's a better passer now. I mean, that's oversaid. I know it's oversaid on a lot of the analysts. They have their say. He's a better passer, and he's a passer first now. He runs second. He thinks running second. And when he does, he's effective both ways, and he's very dangerous.
Joshua also says, John, like you said before, the Patriots team knows how important this game is. Will not fool around. Patriots win 34-14. Tom gets the offense back to its scoring ways, and the young defense, hopefully getting some of the injured linemen back, steps up and holds the Bills to only 14. Donald says, I pick the Steelers. They will cover. I would take the Ravens. They will cover. The Patriots will cover. And the bull pick will be Virginia Tech, and they will cover.
Who is this?
This is Donald. He's picking against the rookie. All right, did you get all that, rookie?
No, I did not.
All right, Steelers. Okay, you got the Steelers? All right.
Okay.
He says he's going to take the Ravens to cover. He's going to take the Patriots to cover. And his bowl pick is Virginia Tech, and they will cover.
Okay.
Got it? All right, so that's Donald, and we have him on Facebook. So just put Donald on Facebook, all right? There you go.
Sounds good.
All right, very good. And hold it. Keith on Facebook says, John, I think it could be a close one in Buffalo. Pats win 24-17. And I'm 58, by the way, and I've been a Pats fan since 1985, the first year I followed American football on British Channel 4, BBC 4. One of the hosts
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
Yeah, baby. One of the hosts being Pats kicker John Smith, who was a host of NFL football on BBC 4. Merry Christmas or holiday of your choice to you and all involved in Patriots. Yes, Patriots Radio for all you for the fan base. Thank you, Keith.
We have some great BBC clips in
here. We do. Yes. Do you have some more? Do you have some more?
Like a Jedi, Nate!
Yes.
No, better than that. A Templar, Nate.
This is a flash of pure inspiration.
Pure inspiration.
Love that. That's
it's
good.
The gladiators out there, man. Not tennis players. He smelled a sock of jockstrap.
Oh, I don't like that's not a good one. Now we're going to get into the fetish thing again. Steve sends his prediction is on for Sunday, and he says Patriots 31-17. B-Lo, what say you?
I say I wasn't prepared for you to ask
off guard. Look at that.
I caught him off guard. Look at the
recovery, though.
But I'm quick. What was that?
You're very quick,
Kevin,
on your feet.
0.3 seconds.
Yeah, that was well under a second.
I like clock today.
I like that.
It's too much. Yeah.
Nicely done. Nicely
got a stopwatch there?
What do you think about Sunday, brother?
Sunday?
Yeah.
Sunday? Oh, the football game.
Football
Patriots
game
Bills.
Sunday. Yeah, I know.
Won't be a blowout of any kind, but you know, I look at this Patriots team as being one that recognizes exactly what's at stake. Let's get it done right now. We're better than the Bills. We're going to prepare better than the Bills, and we're going to get it done by a touchdown.
Okay. By a touchdown.
By a touchdown.
Spread
by
is 8. Touchdown. So you think the Bills will cover?
Sure.
Bills will cover.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. It's
going to
take the Bills to cover.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
flip around a question that you asked us earlier.
Yeah.
You know, what would the Bills have to do if the Patriots were not to cover?
I think it's imperative that they have to get a turnover somehow, some way.
Mm. Yeah.
I think, you know, there's no way that they end up covering this spread unless they get a turnover.
No way.
I'll step out to say that they will not cover, but they'll have a chance to cover if they get a turnover. If they get more than one turnover, they're going to make it a game.
Well, I'm not sure what the spread was in week 3 when the Patriots did beat the Bills by 8. And I don't remember what the turnover differential was. I know the Patriots won the turnover differential.
Yeah.
No, but the Bills stayed competitive in that game.
Very.
Very competitive. If they didn't have a lead, they were down by 1 or 3 or something deep into the in the second half.
The Patriots kicked the field goal to spread it out.
Yeah, well, it became 38-23,
right,
or 38-22 or something,
right,
like that. And,
right,
and the Bills scored and
scored and then got and the 2 points
had
and, yeah,
a chance. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
That could be very similar to this game as well, I think.
No question.
Like a backdoor cover. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And you look at some of these games in Buffalo. I don't know. I'm not even sure what the forecast is, but you know it's going to be cold. I don't know if it's going to be windy and blustery. That has proven to level the playing field a little bit in this series. The Patriots win the games. They haven't lost since game 1 of 03.
Mm-hmm.
They still tend to get the job done, but I don't know that this is a game that's going to be an easy one for the Pats, but I do think they recognize what's at stake, and that's all they need.
All right, baby. Yeah. How about the fantasy lowdown?
Well, you know, we got really the championship game for a lot of teams. Derek, where are you at? Are you out of fantasy this year?
No, I am in.
You're in. Is it a championship week for you?
Three-headed monster and running backs with LeGarrette Blount and Darren McFadden. And also, I have Ray Rice. So
that is a three-headed monster.
I have I wheeled and dealed.
That is pretty good. Do you have a flex spot you can use one of them in?
Well, yeah, that's what I've been
doing.
There
you go. Okay, yeah. Well, good. Well, you know, we're talking normal, you know, as if it's any other week in terms of the questions we want people to ask in terms of, you know, who to start, who to sit. But we're also going to be sensitive to the high majority of people, unfortunately myself included, who are not in championship weeks. And we're going to actually talk a little bit, about an outlook for 2011, just to make sure that people who are anxious about having 8 months upcoming without fantasy football, that they have something to look forward to come next August and September. So we'll even give a little bit of taste of who are some guys that have caught my eye in recent weeks to keep in mind for 2011. But really, it's all about this week. There's a game tonight, not a real appetizing game from an actual NFL standpoint, Carolina-Pittsburgh. But hey, there's fantasy implications tonight, John.
Like it. Like it.
Kinda
all right.
Like it.
Coming up momentarily, because the PFW guys killed us on time. We didn't get on the air until 12 after today.
Is that right? And now you're taking that out on me?
No, I'm not going to take it out on you. I'm bailing here just a second.
I understand. I'm teamwork.
Getting ready to bail here. I want to help you out, brother. Dagmar says, John, just looking at player stats, Vic can be considered over Welker. Whoever compares both Welker's and Vic's stats from this year to last, jump right away the question, what was Wes coming back from? Anyway, Merry Christmas and talk to you next week. Well, he was coming back from a huge, obviously, knee injury. And one final entrant for Beat the Rookie. This comes from Steven on Facebook. All right, you ready, rookie? Here we go. He's going to take Pittsburgh. Steelers, read the games out. Pittsburgh is what?
They're 14.5 over Carolina.
All right, he's taking Pittsburgh and the points. St. Louis, what's that one?
St. Louis is at home playing San Francisco, favored by 2.5.
Come on, Rook, can't you write and talk at the same time?
Sorry, I'm engaged.
I'm helping him out.
Okay.
Engaged? You're too young to be engaged.
No, engaged in writing
stuff
down.
New Orleans? Hello?
Yes.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree here. I'm telling you.
We focus on one thing and one thing only. New Orleans' spread is?
Atlanta's favored by 2.5.
Okay, so he's taking the Saints. And then the bowl game, he's taking Oregon.
Okay.
In the championship
Pac-10,
game.
Pac-10, baby.
Yeah, so that's the Oregon plus the 3.
All right. Okay.
Got it? All right, so Steven's in for Beat the Rookie.
Somebody step in a duck.
Yep, absolutely. All right, folks, thanks so much for being a part of the program today. Obviously, for all of you who listen to the program throughout the course of the year, we appreciate your support. I hope that you have a very happy, healthy, and safe Christmas holiday over the weekend. Enjoy the football over the weekend, and please stick around because Brian Lowe is next with the Fantasy Lowdown right here on Patriots.com Radio.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network. All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com Radio.